You're listening to the Newsmakers Podcast from MLB.com.
Man, this is an honor. I have one of the best people who ever worked in baseball. He was an all-star with the St. Louis Cardinals, and then he went on to become a broadcaster with the Yankees, and then he became the National League president of baseball. I'm talking about Bill White. Bill, thank you so much for being with me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Bill, how you doing? You seem happy in retirement.
Well, I think after years of being around, playing it and broadcasting it, and probably running the league for 5 years, I am pretty happy.
What are you doing per se? Are you fishing or whatnot?
Well, I do a lot of things. I've traveled. We've traveled pretty much Asia and Europe and South America, and we've fished in a lot of those places.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we do quite a bit of fishing in Canada,
mm-hmm.
and the islands around here. So we're trying to enjoy life and relax.
Right, right. That's really good. From 1956 to 1994, you accomplished a lot in the game of baseball. You know, you were an all-star, like I said, and you were a broadcaster and then worked for the National League office. Do you ever look in the mirror and said, man, I did pretty good for myself?
No. It was a career that extended over all those areas.
Mm-hmm.
But it was work. Some of it was fun. Some of it was not fun, because when you go through those things, playing baseball, for instance, I wasn't a very good baseball player originally, but a lot of people helped me become a decent player. Harry Walker, for instance, who played for the Cardinals years ago and managed the big leagues, helped me quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And in broadcasting, a lot of people helped me. Joe Garagiola, Jack Buck, a lot of people. Just really, really took me under their wing and helped me do a lot of things. And then when I got to the Yankees, of course, a lot of people helped me there. Mike Burke, who owned the Yankees at that time, brought me in. And Howard Burke, B-E-R-K, vice president, helped me. And it's just, and then, of course, when I got to, went to the National League, Peter O'Malley obviously brought me there. And just a lot of people help you when you do these things. Fortunately, I was able to listen to them and use their advice and be halfway successful in all of those endeavors.
Of all the years you've been in this game, I mean, you've had some great moments. Can you pick out your best moment?
When I left the National League.
Is that right? Why is that?
Well, it that was a different. Going through all of those things, I said I was just an average player, and got to be a decent broadcaster with the Yankees with the help of people here in Philadelphia who started me at WFIL here in Philadelphia, Channel 6.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Klein, for instance, and I went to New York to took voice lessons from Lillian Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lot of people helped. I think anybody who is fairly successful is helped by a lot of people, but they also got to accept that help and use it.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing that was so interesting is that Harry Carey challenged you. You had went to him and you said you thought his job was easy, and he told you to go try it. And I guess you owe some debt to Harry Carey, I guess.
Well, it wasn't a challenge. I didn't challenge him or whatever. We were kidding. I was
mm-hmm.
sitting on the bench and I'm trying to hit curveballs, and he said I couldn't hit a curveball. And mm-hmm. I said, hey, it's easy to talk about it up there, but you can't even see. So how the hell are you going to hit a curveball? And that's how it started.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, do a tape. I did a tape, and I sent it to Bob Hyland, who was running KMOX Radio then in St. Louis. And they got me started. I did everything at that station, KMOX, except sweep the floors.
Mm-hmm.
I went out with set in his meetings when he had meetings once a week. I worked cataloging records.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with the people who put the program on, the engineers, And just you gave me an overall experience in how a broadcast becomes a broadcast. And that was good. So I'm talking about the people in St. Louis at KMOX and Bob Hyland.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack Buck was there then. Harry Carey was there then. KMOX was probably one of the most sports-minded sports stations or stations, period,
right,
and in the whole country. It was a CBS station, and we were just, I was just fortunate enough to have that kind of experience, to get that kind of experience.
What advice would you give to people who wants to stay in this game for a long time, not just broadcasting, but in baseball in general?
Just work hard, that's all. Hmm. Listen to people, talk to people, listen to what they say. Take the things that that you can take and use, and discard those things that you can't, because you get good advice and you get bad advice. It's up to you to decide which of these ideas that I will take. But basically, you work hard, listen, talk to people who've been in the business for quite a while, and just be humble. Don't think that you know it all. I think today sometimes people come in the game and they know it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I did resist and still resist people who try to channel you into, being antagonistic toward the people you're going to interview, or be smart alecky or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing you a favor by talking to you.
Right.
And I read the papers today, and I hear broadcasters today, and it goes a long ways toward what I would not have done. And
mm-hmm.
people, fortunately, didn't give me that kind of advice back then.
Right.
Your job is just to inform. Your opinion, whether it's good or bad, doesn't necessarily have to go out.
Right.
But you inform and let the people who listen to you make that decision. Sports has changed. Broadcasting has changed. Sports writing has changed.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You were the first African-American to broadcast baseball games on a regular basis. And you know, and I watched you most of that time growing up in New York, and I got to tell you, as an African-American, I was proud to see like a father figure on TV. And how proud were you that you are a hero to a lot of us black Americans?
Well, I'm glad that happened. That's what Mike Burke said when he hired me. We went to a restaurant one night in New York, before I had gotten the job, or actually after I'd gotten the job. And Mike had said, you know, I hired Bill because he was black and whatever. And so I challenged him. I said, wait a minute, you know, you hired me because you wanted me to broadcast. He said, Bill, listen, it's people over in the Bronx and all across New York and wherever see you there. And hopefully they will say that, hey, if he does that, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sort of accepted that. I never really did accept it, but I accepted it. Because, first of all, I wasn't very good when I started.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, a lot of people helped me start. I think I went there in 1971.
71.
And with the help of Rizzuto, Phil Rizzuto, and people at WFIL, and with the guys I mentioned, broadcasters whom I talked to in 71, I think the Yankees won in 75 or so.
77, 78.
I think they won the first one. What, it was 77? Was that the first year?
Yes, 77,
there, whatever.
Yes.
Okay, well, the Yankees won, and I got a call from CBS, and Frank Miller said, we want you to do the series on radio. And it surprised me. I think it surprised a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was the Yankee-Cincinnati series, mm-hmm. and I think the opening game was in Cincinnati, and they really killed us. But and I had been doing just three innings of Yankee baseball. But when you do the broadcast on CBS, you have to do all nine.
Right.
So we got through that, and that gave me some confidence. And from there on, I was able to do a lot of other things nationally.
Bill, I'm going to mention some names to you and tell me what comes to mind. The first one is Thurman Munson. I know how much you loved him.
Well, he's a Buckeye. And he's from Canton, Ohio, plays football. I'm born Ohio, played football. I think he went to a Catholic school in Canton, but I went to a public school in Warren.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our chief rivals back then was the Canton McKinley Bulldogs. I think Bulldogs, I think they called them. We were the we played there, and Warren, we were the Panthers. And I liked his spunk. I liked his fight. He was not a big guy, but he was a tough guy, and he could hit.
Right.
Not necessarily hit home runs, but and he was a good leader, great leader. And that's why I liked Munson. There were a lot of guys on the team that played well. Lou Piniella was on that team, and he was he was crazy, but he hit, and he fought, and he had a lot of pride. And then after that was all over, he managed. I think he broadcast a little bit.
Yes, he did.
Nettles was on that team. Roy White was on that team. There were some really very good players on that 60, I guess you said 66, was it?
77.
77, I'm sorry, 77
yes.
team.
And did you like Reggie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot Reggie. I was talking about the guys I've been with for
gotcha.
4 years. Yes, Reggie was really... Reggie was a, I mean, he was a catalyst for that team, I think. Was that the series he had three home runs?
That's
I'm not
correct.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. No, Reggie, they needed Reggie to win. They probably would not have won had they not got Reggie from, Baltimore?
Yes, that's correct.
You know, at 83, you forget all these. That was quite a few years ago.
That's all right. That's all right.
But I was just 83 three or four days ago, and
yes.
I can't completely recall names, but it was Reggie. That was a pretty good baseball team. They played together. They fought together. As I mentioned the leader, of course, was Munson. They had some pretty good pitching, and unfortunately, that series they lost to Cincinnati. But after that, they started. They got together even more and started winning series.
Right. What about Bob Gibson?
Gibson, I played with him in the Cardinals. Of course, he's probably one of the greatest competitors that I played with and or against after I got traded to Phillies, I think in 1967 or so. Maybe it might have been 66. I'm not sure. I hit a couple off of him and just one home run, a couple hits. And next time up, he hit me.
Is that right?
Yeah, but we had dinner after and we talked about it. But it's his job to get me out. It's my job to hit. I still talk to Bob three or four or five times a year.
Wow, that's great. What about Johnny Keene?
Johnny Keene was probably the best guy I ever played for. He let you play, and he had common sense. Most managers I played for, especially with the Cardinals, you know, you threw at guys. You slid hard into guys at second base, third base. You didn't talk to the other team. But John one day set me down after I dove for a ball and I hurt my shoulder. And I still played. I couldn't throw overhand because I couldn't throw overhand anyway. But he sat me down. And he said, look, he said, you're going to play every game. Don't dive for balls. Don't take guys out down at second base. I need you to play. And that was the first time anybody had ever told me that. The Giants didn't play that way when I was with the Giants, and the Cardinals didn't play that way before. But John took Solly Hemus's place as manager, and he wanted guys out there mean. He wanted Boyer. He wanted Grote. He got Brock later on, Flood in center field. But basically, he wanted Boyer, Grote, myself to play, and little Timmy McCarver at that time to play every day. And so to do that, he said, forget the Cardinal way. Take care of yourself. If you do that, you'll take care of the team. We'll win more ball games.
Wow. Bing Devine.
Bing Devine is one of my, well, my favorite general manager, obviously. Mostly when I wanted to buy a home in St. Louis, I had a problem. They didn't want me to buy a home where I wanted to buy a home, which was about 15 miles outside of St. Louis, probably about 10 miles from where I was living, and because they had housing segregation then.
Yes.
And so Bing says, you want that home, you're going to get it. So Bing Devine, who was general manager, Al Fleischman, who was head of Fleischman Hilliard, Johnny Keene, and a few other people said, you're going to get that home, and I got it.
Wow.
And I lived there about 4 years, and finally when I was traded to the Phillies, I sold it. But Bing was a fine, fine person. I'm so sorry I missed his funeral. I was in Florida. We had a motorhome down there, and around one of the lakes, and we didn't get the papers or much TV, radio there. I found out on a Monday that he had died, and his funeral, I think, was going to be on a Tuesday or Wednesday. And I couldn't make it. But I wish that I had found out in time to fly to St. Louis to be there, because he really was a catalyst for me doing whatever I did in baseball. He just turned me loose and let me go, helped me buy a home.
Right.
Gave me great advice about St. Louis. He and Al Fleischman and a few other people in St. Louis were just great.
You and the rest of that Cardinal team, especially the 64 Cardinal team, everyone talks about how intelligent that entire team was, and how you guys broke segregation and all that stuff. How proud are you that you were able to get everyone together to be as one?
Well, it wasn't just me. We just had good people. And we had Gibson. We had myself. I think Kurt Flood was there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Boyer was there. And Musial was there. I can't remember all the other guys because
right.
Grote came. He came in later on. But we had good people. We had Bing Devine, who said, "I'm going to settle this." The laws in Florida were all obviously segregated Florida. So we couldn't stay with the team. We couldn't stay in a hotel. We decided that we would fight that. It was Gibson, Flood, myself, Dave Ricketts. And Dick Ricketts, who I think Dick is their brothers, and I think Dick played basketball at Syracuse and mm-hmm. also with the Cincinnati basketball team. I forget their name in the pros. But we all had kids who had had some experience. They had some college experience in colleges. We said, we don't want to take this anymore. So we got that done, and I think in 1963, mm-hmm. we integrated the housing, the hotels there. We got to know each other. And I think that's why we integrated in 62. I'm sorry. Did a pretty good job in 63.
Mm-hmm.
And we won in 64 because mm-hmm. we became a very close-knit team. Stayed in the same motel, which the Cardinals bought. The guys would have, we would cook after games. We'd have barbecues. My then wife took the kids, all of the young kids there. They had sort of a kindergarten or whatever, and Bush made sure he rented a bus, took them to the various places, Wikiwaki and Bush Gardens. So we got to be a big family,
right?
And that's why I think that's why we won finally, and that's one of the reasons we won in '64.
Wow. Final question, Bill. Any changes you would like to see in baseball?
I don't follow baseball. I haven't been to a game since I left in 65, I believe.
You mean 94?
I think I left. No, I go to the Philly games. I go have lunch before the game, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Because, but I don't think too many players, unless they are honored for some special event or whatever, I don't know how many go watch games. You don't want to watch something that you've done.
Right.
These guys are a lot better players than we were. They're bigger, they're stronger, they're smarter, they're faster, and they make a lot more money.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Bill White, I got to tell you, this was an honor, and thank you so much for being with me, and you take care of yourself.
All right, my honor being with you, and thanks for joining me.